The reason is so simple, I ought to have known beforehand it would happen. A man who has won a prize coveted by his friend faces a difficult choice. He must either hide his prize away where the friend will never see it, if he can, or suffer damage to the friendship. This was the very problem that had arisen between Pumpkin and me. Our friendship had never recovered after my adoption. So, although the chairman's negotiations with Mother to be my Donna dragged out over several months, in the end it was agreed that I would no longer work as a geisha. I certainly wasn't the first geisha to leave Gion. Besides those who ran away, some married and left as wives, others withdrew to set up tea houses or okia of their own. In my case, however, I was trapped in a peculiar middle ground. The chairman wanted me out of Gion to keep me out of sight of Nobu, but he certainly wasn't going to marry me. He was already married. Probably the perfect solution, and the one that the chairman proposed, would have been to set me up with my own tea house or inn, one that Nobu would never have visited. But Mother was unwilling to have me leave the okia. She would have earned no revenues from my relationship with the chairman if I had ceased to be a member of the Nitta family, you see. This is why, in the end, the chairman agreed to pay the okia a very considerable sum each month on the condition that Mother permit me to end my career. I continued to live in the okia, just as I had for so many years, but I no longer went to the little school in the mornings or made the rounds of Gion to pay my respects on social occasions, and, of course, I no longer entertained during the evenings. Because I'd set my sights on becoming a geisha only to win the affections of the chairman, probably I ought to have felt no sense of loss in withdrawing from Gion. And yet, over the years, I've developed many rich friendships, not only with other geisha, but with many of the men I'd come to know. I wasn't banished from the company of other women just because I'd ceased entertaining, but those who make a living in Gion have little time for socializing. I often felt jealous when I saw two geisha hurrying to their next engagement, laughing together over what had happened at the last one. I didn't envy them the uncertainty of their existence, but I did envy that sense of promise I could well remember, that the evening ahead might yet hold some mischievous pleasure. I did see Mameha frequently. We had tea together at least several times a week. Considering all that she had done for me since childhood, and the special role she'd played in my life on the chairman's behalf, you can imagine how much I felt myself in her debt. One day, in a shop, I came upon a silk painting from the 18th century showing a woman teaching a young girl calligraphy. The teacher had an exquisite oval face and watched over her pupil with such benevolence it made me think of Mameha at once, and I bought it for her as a gift. On the rainy afternoon when she hung it on the wall of her dreary apartment, I found myself listening to the traffic that hissed by on Higashi Oji Avenue. I couldn't help remembering, with a terrible feeling of loss, her elegant apartment from years earlier, and the enchanting sound out those windows of water rushing over the knee-high cascade in the Shirakawa stream. Gion itself had seemed to me like an exquisite piece of antique fabric back then, but so much had changed. Now, Mameha's simple one-room apartment had mats the color of stale tea and smelled of herbal potions from the Chinese pharmacy below, so much so that her kimono themselves sometimes gave off a faint medicinal odor.